from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
This hour brought to you by Jewel Osco.
And now, it's time for the Score Afternoon Show with Anthony Herron and Marshall Harris on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Score Afternoon. It is Marshall Harris joined by Anthony Herron. We got so much to get into today. Got a little bit of a short show that cheated us on the back end. That's okay. We're leading into Cubs baseball tonight. We'll talk a little bit about the Cubs a little bit later, but yeah, we got to talk Bears because 4-0, plus 68 on the preseason margin point total, which I know you pay very close attention to, but also
for preseason, right?
A trade was made. You're wondering, are the Bears going to be able to get to the quarterback? Matt Judon, not going to be on the Bears. He was traded elsewhere. Meanwhile, though, they sent a 2025 sixth round pick to the Seahawks in exchange for linebacker Daryl Taylor. This is a big move. You're giving up an asset, but you're getting maybe some immediate help. I need you to help me break it out. This is what you do. You are a football analyst. You know inside and out. Mm-hmm. Your initial reaction to this trade.
So the Bears, we've all been talking about the limited pass rush the Bears have been able to access. And as much fun as it's been to watch Austin Booker throughout the preseason and Daniel Hardy throughout the preseason, guys, you know, who aren't named Montez Sweat or DeMarcus Walker get to the quarterback, to have another guy who's accomplished as a pass rusher at the NFL level, then that adds depth. And you don't have to give up as much as you would have had to give up to bring in Judon. And so at least for this season as a one-off, it can work well for both sides, where Taylor comes in, you know, in some ways it's an audition for him to see if he can perform at a level that earns a new deal. And for the Bears to enhance the depth they have on their defensive front, you know, necessary would be an overstatement because they played at a high level on defense last season without the additional pass rush, with other guys getting banged up. But now, you know, you got reinforcements. You got someone else who, if it even just ends up being a situational pass rusher where Montez Sweat, three downs every series that his tongue isn't dragging on the ground, which it became kind of newsworthy last year where folks saw him taking himself out of the lineup, and there's some overreaction to that. But Montez Sweat, every snap he's physically capable of playing, he plays it. DeMarcus Walker, every first and second down he's up for, cool. Some third down, you bump him in over the tackle. But now, if you bump DeMarcus Walker down over the tackle in some of your sub packages, now you have another legit pass rusher in Daryl Taylor to be able to rush the opposing edge. Someone who, when people pull up the film of Daryl Taylor, they'll say, that's a guy who can rush the quarterback. That's a guy who's got a wide array of pass rush moves, who's a legit threat. And now, you can't just slide your protection to Montez Sweat on a consistent basis and plan on being fine with that. Just have multiple bodies accounting for big number 98 and think you're going to be okay. And if you do end up in a situation where the other young guys who are likely to make the roster, like Dominique Robinson, it seems, will likely make the roster. I mean, he's a nice football player, but he's not what the Bears need in that other exceptional pass rusher. But if Dominique Robinson is here and he does have a good developmental year as a pass rusher, then that's great. Austin Booker, everything he flashed throughout the preseason.
It looks so natural.
It really does.
Graceful.
And he seems to understand. That's where I don't think Dominique Robinson has completely gotten into. We can get into some of the minutiae comparing and contrasting the pass rushers a little bit later. But now you do have another guy who is a proven commodity off the edge that you can pair on the opposing edge from Montez Sweat. And now you can say, all right, we got four down. Maybe we can get home with our front four, as opposed to feeling like what it developed into throughout the season last year and what they've been at their best at this season when Matt Eberflus has brought that additional pressure. I'm not anti-blitz. Matt Eberflus has proven to folks who maybe had one idea as he got hired as the Bears coach. He's not anti-blitz either. But when you can get home with four, it opens up your defensive playbook so exponentially. And now they have more potential to do that.
If you just look back seven, I'm really curious to your take on that. I think they have one of the strongest back sevens in the NFL. Where do you put them? Is that like top five back sevens in the NFL? Or is that, am I stretching it when I say that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, you know, we go through the, you know, each roster on every other team or whatever. But as far as this, a back seven that's capable of truly dominating a game on a consistent basis, their secondary, the way they perform on the back end with such limited pass rush that they've gotten over the last couple of seasons, it shows the quality of their play and the confidence that they're able to keep performing at in knowing that, yeah, we kind of had one guy last season that's really going to consistently be able to get home. And they only had him for half the year once they traded for Montez Sweat. So you get that level of DB play when they're healthy. If you can accentuate that with the pass rush, they'll look even better. The linebacker position, TJ Edwards played well the entire season. Tremaine Edmonds last year played better and better as the year went on after he kind of got his legs under him a little bit. He's always been a guy that's had this ratio of size and overall athleticism that's off the charts. The true playmaking and the statistical production hasn't always been there from Tremaine Edmonds to the extent that his attributes, his physical attributes would seem to indicate they can be. But he became a playmaker as the season went on last year. So, yes, I would say the whole Bears defense I wouldn't put in the top five as of yet. I'd say they're a top 10 defense in football. But back seven, just minusing the D-line to your question, I'd say, yeah, I think that's fair to call them a top five back seven in football.
And certainly the overall defense trending in the right direction, which is kind of just as important when you look at how many of those players are so young from a year ago and trying to see what step they take. Again, the big news today, linebacker Daryl Taylor, the Bears acquire him from the Seahawks for a 2025 sixth-round pick. Now, Taylor was a 2020 second-round pick. He's had 21 and a half sacks in 49 games. Only 13 of those were starts. So definitely a rotational piece. I don't want people to get too over-the-top excited, though, because we know that's something that they needed, but it doesn't mean like, okay, this is a finished product and now the Bears should be super dominant or anything like that. It's just a nice short piece, as you just so eloquently explained. I want to look back last night. The Bears do get the win. They finished the season, preseason, undefeated at 4-0. And they look good every step of the way.
What if the Bears finished the season undefeated, man? How amazing would that be?
Well, I know some 72 Dolphins would be quite upset.
I mean, you think this city is ready right now. The Bears go 17-0?
You know, if the Bears go 3-0, do you know what the city will be? Like, but I don't think that people outside of the city, and maybe some who have been laying dormant inside the city, understand what just like 2-0, let alone 3-0, would do for a city that's already... It's percolating, right? And it's that moment when you've got the water on the stove and you're like, yo, I need that hot water for my coffee or whatever. And it's like, you can hear the like kind of bubbling. But when that teapot goes, a little high pitch, it's on.
It's the percolator.
And that's, it is time for the percolator. We've been waiting how many years for the percolator for the Bears?
Hey, I mean, I guess you can count 06. But I mean, other than that, you had kind of the one blip. But yeah, we've been waiting for a minute.
I've seen double doinks since then. I've seen a lot of things since 06. Right. Like, so yeah, it's been a long time coming. And I think just seeing this team go undefeated, though, in the preseason, people will say, well, it's the preseason, it doesn't matter. I would counter, and you can tell me because you got that perspective, that it does matter, though, because what we've seen over the course of those four games is a culture and a chemistry which we haven't necessarily seen in years past.
The way it looks matters so much. The record, I wouldn't care if they were 0-4, if the guys who mattered looked like they mattered, you know, and looked like they did throughout the preseason. But if they, you know, if the third and fourth stringers go out there and lose every one of these games, then the final score isn't what matters as much as seeing the way that Caleb Williams looked as comfortable as he looked throughout the preseason, which there's some growth I still want to see. And I was disappointed that, you know, he didn't play in the game last night, as I've talked about on this station and on other platforms. But the way that the receiver position shows the depth that they've had. We got some glimpses into how scrimmages went with the Bengals and on the practice field and all those things, with Keenan Allen flashing more than we've been able to see from Keenan Allen flashing in preseason game, which is fine. He's been at it for over a decade. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Yeah, I don't need Keenan Allen in the preseason games. But the defense, especially, to your point, the way the defense flies to the football, the way this defense tackles, like every level. When Matt Eberflus at his opening press conference after the Bears announced him as head coach, and he said, like, get your track shoes on or bring your track shoes, you know, get your track shoes, whatever he said about track shoes. This is the evolution of what he was hoping to build this team towards. When he first got here, defense was a little bit on the older side. There was like this odd. So there was no middle age with the Bears defense. It was really
old
guys.
Get your track shoes on because we're running.
That's what he said. Tell him, Floos. So now you had really old guys and really young guys, and now he's got a lot of youth and he's got energy. He's got urgency. And you see a level of attack and confidence that they play with that he was hoping to. That's exactly when he's talking track shoes. Guys who can hunt the football with energy is what we see with this Bears D now. So regardless of the record, the way they look like a quality football team.
And that's regardless if it's first string, second string, third string.
They play
the same way regardless of who's on the field and what the talent gap is. And you said, you know, get your track shoes right. He just had guys who were running the Masters 100s instead of the Olympic style. Now
running the Marshall Harris.
Yes.
How many miles this morning?
That was yesterday. It's
how just, many miles yesterday
just
morning?
Just six. It was. You know what? I didn't
just
run six miles. I yogged 6 miles. That's a soft J.
You yogged it?
Yeah, I just wanted to see, can I still run 6 miles? And that's what happened. And so we were good with that. We're just getting started. We got so much Bears to talk about because we have.
We, Frenchie. we were good with it. There's like a committee of people who evaluate the yogging that you do in the morning.
Sometimes it's like a step above race walking, okay? Like race walking, the key with that, it's an Olympic sport.
You see, I keep my knees strapped up, so I know exactly what you mean.
One foot's got to be on the ground the whole time during race walking. That's the key to race walking. All right, like I know race walk. That's all I could do for a long time. But now that I can run, I'm gonna run with air quotes. I'm going to run. And you know, we're off and running here. We got to take a quick break, but let me just tell you what's coming up, man. 3 o'clock, we've got Herb Howard, Chicago Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs. 4 o'clock, hit you again with Charles Davis, NFL on CBS and the NFL Network. At 5 o'clock, more Bears talk. Mike Renner, who had a very interesting thing to say about the Bears quarterbacks, both current and former. We're going to put him in the hot seat for that one. He covers the NFL for CBS Sports, and he's the host of the Pushing the Pile podcast with Kyle Long. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Tuesday, because that's roster cutdown day, and you know, decisions have to be made. Also, Caleb Williams didn't play the last game, but you know, some people have some interesting things to say about him. He's Anthony Heron. I'm Marshall Harris. This is Score Afternoons, a.k.a. Harrison Heron on 670, The Score.
Get your track shoes on because we're running.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Here we go. Nice run here. Bayless Jones cutting it back. This is what you were hoping to see if you're Bayless Jones. An opportunity in the open field. A 39-yard weaving touchdown run. His second rushing touchdown of the preseason, and he looked good on this one.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Anthony Heron and Marshall Harris on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
That's right. It is Score Afternoons. Marshall Harris, Anthony Heron hanging out with you until 5:30 and little Cubs baseball coming up your way as they try to stay in the race. I believe it's a 2.8% chance of making the playoffs by Fangraphs is what I was told earlier today.
Did that dampen the hopes that you were discussing at the time?
It's not about hopes. It's about, you know, keep hope alive, I guess. So, yeah, it's about hope. You're right. But a wise man told me 2.8, that's greater than 2.7.
A very wise man did say that once.
Yeah, that wise man was Anthony Heron, who's in studio here talking Bears with me, getting ready to talk Bears with Herb Howard coming up at the top of the hour. But between now and then, you heard Velus Jones Jr. doing his thing. He's making it happen as a running back against, you know, third string, fourth string guys against the Chiefs.
Here you go, diminishing Velus. That took about 5 seconds.
I'm not diminishing him. I'm saying it is what it is. I saw who was in the game before him.
Who was that?
There were other running backs that were not named. Roshon Johnson, who finished
in the fourth quarter of the
Herbert,
preseason game to close things out.
If you're playing in the fourth quarter of the final preseason game, what does that usually mean, Ant?
Usually means your shot is long. Your shot is long to make the roster. Usually means that
they're not 2.8%?
They're not prioritized. Maybe greater than 2.8.
Okay.
You know, injuries would help to increase those odds a little bit.
Haven't seen those injuries you're talking about, though.
I don't think the right guys have gone down for Velus to make the squad. But the term I've used on this station is due diligence. You know, I think that them trying Velus at running back, a guy with the skill set he's shown with the football in his hands, it's worth a look. It's enticing. That's the main reason he was a third-round pick. It's not because he showcased exceptional abilities as a wide receiver. He certainly showed high-level ability as a kick returner and sometimes as a punt returner in college at multiple stops in college. He was a high school All-American and all this other stuff. The All-American Bowl, I've been calling for years for NBC. Velus Jones played in that game years ago. So I've been seeing him and evaluating him since he was a high schooler, but you know, there's been more disappointment than there has been highlight reel play from Velus.
I love that you brought up the high school All-American game that you call, because you've literally seen when he had the most potential to now where it looks like he's not going to reach his potential, at least not in his first stop in the NFL.
Right.
What do you think the difference is between when you saw him in that high school All-American game, comparing him to his peers then, compared to now, what you see against his peers?
I think that he's a guy who doesn't seem to have a truly natural feel for the game itself. He does have a lot of skills with the football in his hands. When they turn around and hand it to him, or when they turn around, usually when they toss it to him, you know, as long as he receives it cleanly, when he's got the rock in his hands, he is difficult to contain because he's got straight line speed. He's got kind of a surprisingly thick, durable frame. So there's some power that he can showcase when he's got the ball as well. But you know, where he was hoping to be showcased, where the Bears were hoping to showcase him early in his career, really accentuated the limited ball skills that he has, because with the ball in flight, he struggles with that. He struggles to track the football. So it means that even though he's got exceptional speed, there's the assumption that a guy's really fast, so he's going to be great catching deep balls. That's not how it works with everyone. You have to, there's a certain level of fluidity you need to have in the way you can run a route, still get your eyes around to track the football in flight, gauge it, just like an outfielder in baseball, where you have to be able to track and gauge the path that you need to take to engage the ball as you're receiving it, as it approaches the ground. Some receivers make that look natural and easy. Some don't. Velus Jones tracking the football in the air is a struggle for him. It would at least be great if there were more highlights of Velus Jones in the return game where he just went off. He's been that guy as a kick returner. It's like, oh, he almost broke that one. He looked like he was nearly going to take it to the house. But now you are. You're a few years into your NFL career. They've tried you in multiple positions. And he's been close so many times, but it hasn't quite come to fruition. So I'm looking at Velus thinking, there's still a good football player in there that there's a chance to access, but he is now on the deepest and most talented roster that he's been on at any point in his young Bears career. So it still is going to be, it's going to be a tough task for them to find a spot for Velus on this team, because it just seems like there's other guys who they have a better opportunity to be productive with than him. But I wouldn't count out the possibility at all. Just like Cordarrelle Patterson's been with multiple teams throughout his career, I wouldn't count out the possibility Velus Jones goes somewhere else and just figures it out a little bit more. The difference is, Velus wasn't some guy who came into the league as a 20 or 21-year-old rookie. Part of the concern was, you know, all right, is he close to his peak already? And up till now, you see some signs of development. It was a really nice highlight. I hope he enjoyed it last night. But as of now, he doesn't look like a guy who on a high-level football team can really be a piece of your plans.
I can really just see the Velus Jones Jr. highlight montage with the Bears. And you can just hear it in the background, a little brandy. Almost doesn't count. Like, that's because that's the word almost that you use, that describes it. Like, oh, he's so close. He's so close. You get to a point where you can't just be close. You got to get something done. You got to put something, as you said, on tape that the Bears themselves or another team can look at and be like, yeah, this is why he's our guy, because he can do that.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen that at all in his time as a Chicago Bear. And he can't help that he was the first offensive player taken by Ryan Poles a couple of years ago. But he can't help what he does in a Bears practice. And he's gotten the stage in games, and he just hasn't gotten it done. So I don't think he's going to be on the team. It doesn't sound like you think he's going to be on the team. But
no, I don't think so.
Stranger things have happened. So, but with everybody being healthy and him playing running back as of late, and we know what the wide receivers look like, I take five guys over him that are on the Bears roster right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Is there any one player that you're looking at right now and you really just have no idea if they're going to make the team or not?
Maybe Colin Johnson, because he flashed so much and
he got hurt
before as well. Yeah. So then what do they do with him? Does he, you know,
he could be a practice squad guy though, right?
I mean, it depends on how long the injury is supposed to last. Like, how banged up is he? Could it be a guy who they'd, you know, put on the PUP list or waived injured? Like, I don't know exactly how much time he's expected to miss, but he's the type of guy that has shown a lot of physical abilities, who's shown playmaking ability as well, though. That's where Velus, you see all the physical tools when he actually gets the football, but then how much production is actually, you know, associated with it. Whereas with Colin Johnson, in some limited opportunities, you've seen him as a receiver do some things. You've seen him in covering special teams do some nice things as well. So I think there's an opportunity for him there. I know there's been some question about Kari Blasen game. I feel like he's going to make the team because you don't even need to have a fullback in camp if you're not interested in having a fullback. He's here because they're interested in having a fullback. So to me, it seems very likely that he's going to be around.
So you're not concerned about Shane Waldron and his use or non-use, I should say, of fullbacks in seasons prior?
I just think in planning, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to have Blasen game around if you weren't going to use a fullback. It'd be one thing if you had, you know, they use Cole Kmet as a fullback. If they did that a bunch as a part of their offense, they'd say, okay, that's an interchangeable piece. They really don't have tight ends who they use in that true H-back lead blocker kind of role too, like a lot of teams around the league do. So I assume if Kari Blasen game is here, it's because even though he was out there getting a lot of work last night too, like he was one of these young cats, but yeah, I think that was more so just because of his role within the team. But I think he's going to make this roster.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on fullback. Remember, Tuesday, the big day, 3 p.m. That is the time when the 53-man roster has to be finalized for the Bears and every other team around the NFL, and you might see some other guys come off. If you want to keep up with it, you can listen to us on the radio. But also, you can download that Odyssey app. You might be listening to it right now. Search for 670 The Score. Tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw, Dan Reeder, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of a new season. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When we come back, sticking with the Bears, because that's just what we're going to
do.
We're bulldozing you with Bears coverage. It's Herb Howard, Chicago Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs. And don't forget, later in the show, we're going to run back our interview with one Matt Eberflus from Middays with Dan, Lawrence, and Layla. That's all coming up. You're listening to Marshall Harris, Anthony Herron. Score afternoon, 670 The Score.
I'm looking at Velus thinking there's still a good football player in there that there's a chance to access, but he is now on the deepest and most talented roster that he's been on at any point in his young Bears career. So it still is going to be a tough task for them to find a spot for Velus on this team, because it just seems like there's other guys who they have a better opportunity to be productive with than him. But I wouldn't count out the possibility at all. Just like Cordero Patterson's been with multiple teams throughout his career, I wouldn't count out the possibility Velus Jones goes somewhere else and just figures it out a little bit more. The difference is Velus wasn't some guy who came into the league as a 20 or 21-year-old rookie. Part of the concern was, you know, all right, is he close to his peak already? And up till now, you see some signs of development. It was a really nice highlight. I hope he enjoyed it last night. But as of now, he doesn't look like a guy who on a high-level football team can really be a piece of your plans.
I can really just see the Velus Jones Jr. highlight montage with the Bears. And you can just hear it in the background. A little brandy. Almost doesn't count. Like, that's because that's the word almost that you use. That describes it. Like, oh, yeah. He's so close. You get to a point where you can't just be close. You got to get something done. You got to put something, as you said, on tape that the Bears themselves or another team can look at and be like, yeah, this is why he's our guy, because he can do that.
Yeah,
I don't think we've seen that at all in his time as a Chicago Bear. And he can't help that he was the first offensive player taken by Ryan Poles a couple of years ago. But he can't help what he does in a Bears practice. And he's gotten the stage in games, and he just hasn't gotten it done. So I don't think he's going to be on the team. It doesn't sound like you think he's going to be on the team, but
no, I don't think so.
Stranger things have happened. So, but with everybody being healthy and him playing running back as of late, and we know what the wide receivers look like, I take five guys over him that are on the Bears roster right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. Is there any one player that you're looking at right now and you really just have no idea if they're going to make the team or not?
Maybe Colin Johnson, because he flashed so much and
he got hurt
before as well. Yeah, so then what do they do with him? Does he, you know?
Well, he could be a practice squad guy though, right?
I mean, it depends on how long the injury is supposed to last. Like, how banged up is he? Could it be a guy who they'd, you know, put on the PUP list or waived injured? Like, I don't know exactly how much time he's expected to miss, but he's the type of guy that has shown a lot of physical abilities, who's shown playmaking ability as well, though. That's where Velus, you see all the physical tools when he actually gets the football, but then how much production is actually, you know, associated with it. Whereas with Colin Johnson, in some limited opportunities, you've seen him as a receiver do some things. You've seen him in covering special teams do some nice things as well. So I think there's an opportunity for him there. I know there's been some question about Kari Blasingame. I feel like he's going to make the team because you don't even need to have a fullback in camp if you're not interested in having a fullback. He's here because they're interested in having a fullback. So to me, it seems very likely that he's going to be around.
So you're not concerned about Shane Waldron and his use or non-use, I should say, of fullbacks in seasons prior?
I just think in planning, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to have Blasingame around if you weren't going to use a fullback. It'd be one thing if you had, you know, they use Cole Kmet as a fullback. If they did that a bunch as a part of their offense, they'd say, okay, that's an interchangeable piece. They really don't have tight ends who they use in that true H-back lead blocker kind of role too, like a lot of teams around the league do. So I assume if Kari Blasingame is here, it's because even though he was out there getting a lot of work last night too, like he was one of these young cats. But, you know, I think that was more so just because of his role within the team. But I think he's going to make this roster.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on fullback. Remember, Tuesday, the big day, 3 p.m., that is the time when the 53-man roster has to be finalized for the Bears and every other team around the NFL, and you might see some other guys come off. If you want to keep up with it, you can listen to us on the radio, but also you can download that Odyssey app. You might be listening to it right now. Search for 670 The Score. Tap follow to receive alerts on our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, check out the Take the North podcast with David Haw, Dan Wiederer, breaking down the biggest storylines ahead of a new season. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. When we come back, sticking with the Bears, because that's just what we're going to
do.
We're bulldozing you with Bears coverage. It's Herb Howard, Chicago Bears beat reporter for It's the Bigs. And don't forget, later in the show, we're going to run back our interview with one Matt Eberflus from Middays with Dan, Lawrence, and Layla. That's all coming up. You're listening to Marshall Harris, Anthony Herron, Score Afternoon, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.